You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Well, I want to talk to you today out of a particular passage. I want to start in Luke 19:1, if you'll go with me. 19:1 is the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus and Zacchaeus. Luke 19:1 says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Has anybody ever struggled with that? You were too short. Amen. It's a real thing. He was too short to see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree beside the road. Now, sometimes when you're a grown man, you don't need to be climbing trees anymore. I was helping my kids climb trees, and I was tempted to climb the tree myself, but then I came back to my right mind and said, there's a time for tree climbing, and there is not a time. So anyways, evidently this was the appropriate time for tree climbing. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. A word of knowledge, he says, Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. So Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He had gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. How many would like to see that tax return? All right. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Now, this is something that we see not just here, but also we see this in other places. We see this with Matthew. He was a tax collector. That Jesus was a friend of tax collectors. Now, this is interesting because most tax collectors were making money off of the poor, making money off of the general population by charging them more than the Roman government required them to be taxed. So they were extortionists. They were extorting the people. And, you know, another aspect of this that was really bad was the fact that many of the tax collectors were Jews, and so they were extorting their own people. So they had a really bad reputation among the Jews. And of course, the Pharisees didn't like him. The general public didn't like him. The Jews didn't like him. Jesus told stories how to not be like them. But then why did Jesus hang out with these tax collectors? These people that were taking money from people. Before I answer that question, I just want to say we're on a journey. We're on a journey in life, and we go from darkness to light. We are in darkness, we start in darkness, and then the way to light is shown to us. So we see the way, and then we make a choice. Do we want to stay in darkness, or do we want to move into the light? But we know for sure these are two very different things, the darkness and the light. And the Bible talks a lot about the darkness and the light. The darkness is completely different from the light. There's a big difference, a striking difference. There is contrast. Just say it with me one time, contrast. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today is contrast. And contrast is the state of being strikingly different from something else. The state of being strikingly different from something else. And Jesus used contrast all the time. How did Jesus use contrast? Well, he put himself where there was the greatest contrast between light and darkness. He was the light of the world, so he put himself in very dark situations among very dark people. And I'm not talking about complexion here. He put himself in dark situations, people that were living in darkness, so that his light could shine. Jesus didn't blend in. Jesus put himself where there was maximum contrast. He spent time with extortionists like these tax collectors. Why did he do that? Why did he spend time with extortionists, adulterers, the sick, the prejudiced, and the prejudiced against? Because he is just, he is faithful, he is healing, he is love, he is forgiveness. So Jesus took his ministry to the place where there was the greatest contrast. So quick question. Why do we as Christians oftentimes avoid contrast? Why are we avoiding being in circumstances and being around people that will contrast our walk and what God has done in us? Because I believe if we're following the steps that Jesus showed us, we might do things a little bit differently. And that's kind of what I want to point out to you today, is this concept of contrast. What I want to talk about for the next couple of weeks is, what does it mean? What does it mean to have that type of contrast in our lives? Who has God placed in your life that might be there for a reason, because you're meant to contrast them? Some of the most beautiful things in life come from contrast. Salvation, healing, deliverance, redemption, transformation. They all come from one thing coming in contact with something completely different. Contrast. When light invades darkness, there is contrast. But first, let me explain what contrast is not. This is what contrast is not. Contrast is not hanging out with the world and becoming like the world. Contrast is not hanging out with the world and bringing no transformation. If I say, oh, I'm going over here, I'm going to go to the bars, or I'm going to go to the clubs, and I'm going to be around sinners, and then 2 years later, there's no transformation. There's no fruit of what you're doing. And actually, to the other extreme, you're kind of becoming more like other people that you're hanging around. So I don't fault you for going to the club. I don't fault you for going to the bar. I fault you for not having transformation. Right? Contrast. Look at somebody and say contrast. Contrast is not being so similar to the world that it's hard to tell the difference in the way you live your life and the way they live their life. That was not Jesus. It was very easy to see that Jesus was doing something different. Jesus would actually come into a space and he would transform it. The reason Jesus hung out with notorious sinners is because that's where he would have maximum ministry impact. Think about it. If you are a healer, you need to be around a lot of sick people. If you are a redeemer, you need to be around a lot of people that need redemption. If you are somebody that is anointed to cast out spirits, you need to be around people that need to be exorcised, right? Jesus went to the places where he could have maximum contrast. But the Pharisees asked Jesus, why are you hanging out with tax collectors and sinners? Why are you hanging out with all these people? And Jesus tells them in Luke 5:31, he says, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. I love that. Jesus said, when I make house calls, all right, when I make house calls, I'm going to go first to the ones that are in the worst shape. They're not somebody that got a common cold. I'm going to somebody that's on their deathbed. I'm not going to somebody that is a little bit sick and in denial that they're sick. He's not saying that the Pharisees didn't need help too. He's just saying, first, I'm going to the people that know they need help. They're in darkness and they know they want to have some type of change. So Jesus looked for contrast. The problem that we have as Christians often is, a lot of times we're hanging out with people that their sin maybe isn't that obvious. And so if we slack off a little bit and they clean up a little bit, we could just blend it all together. And there's no contrast. It's not clear what they're doing wrong, so it appears that maybe they're doing mostly everything right. So we blend in. But in blending in, you know, it's a problem in itself. We weren't meant to blend. Look at somebody and say, I was meant to contrast. Jesus did the opposite of blending in. Matthew 5:16, this is what he commands us to do, like he did. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father. Can I tell you there's no glory in blending in? It brings no glory to God when we're blending in with the world. And also, if we're spending all of our time just hanging around people, other people with flashlights, at some point you need to go take your flashlight and use your flashlight out where it was meant to be used. Because when I use my flashlight out in the dark areas, there's the greatest contrast. If I'm standing beside you and you got a flashlight, I got a flashlight, and you got a flashlight, everybody in the front row's got a flashlight, you can't see what my flashlight is doing. But if I take my flashlight to a very dark area where there's not a lot of light or no light, there is great contrast. So when Jesus is saying, let your light so shine before men, what type of men do you think he's talking about? Other men that have flashlights? No, men and women that do not have flashlights. Men and women that do not have light of any kind. They are in darkness. They need what you have. So blending in is an idea that the enemy has developed for believers. And the problem is you begin to buy into that if you're not reading enough of this. You listen into other stuff, and then you get some crazy ideas floating around in your head. Because blending is not God's idea. Standing up and standing out is what Jesus did. Look at somebody and say, let your light shine. You know, does anybody at your work know that you're a believer? Does anybody at your work know that you've given your life to Christ? Do your friends see any major differences in your life now and before you came to Christ? What is the contrast? Jesus didn't just like contrast. Jesus sought out contrast. So, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Okay, I'm going to take my light. I'm going to bring it to your house in the midst of everything that you're doing wrong. I'm going to come and I'm going to be an example of how to do right. And he didn't just do it there. He's doing it all the time. He said, Matthew, let's throw a party at your house. Not just one tax collector. Let's get a table full of tax collectors. And let me be in the middle of it and see what happens. That's contrast. Because Jesus was looking for maximum contrast. He didn't just accept it. He didn't just like it. He looked for it. And that's not, he didn't just stop there at looking for and seeking for contrast. Jesus had contrast in his conversation. He didn't just sit down and have a conversation about the weather. No, that wasn't Jesus. Jesus talked about real stuff. Jesus talked about the Roman government. Amen? Jesus talked about real stuff. Jesus talked about people, other people that were oppressing people or other people that were prejudiced. That was the story about the Good Samaritan. It was a story about prejudice. Jesus would talk about real issues. Jesus would have contrast in his conversation. Can I ask you a question? When you have conversation with people in the world, is there any contrast to what you're saying? Or did you just blend in with everything that they're saying? Do you just agree with everything that they say? Is there contrast? Or have you been intimidated not to discuss points of contrast? Because oftentimes the world says this is normal, and many Christians say, you know what, okay. Or they just avoid confrontation. Has the devil beaten us down that much that we are afraid to contrast what is going on, what is being said? That is not the way that God does things. When you talk with the lost, does your conversation just blend in? The saddest thing I hear is Christians repeating the philosophies of the world. It's, you know, it's like they're trying to put a Christian spin on something that's just clearly not Christian. And I hear it, I'm like, nah, it's not exactly what is, you know, you hear it all the time. You know, it's, you can't take pop culture ideology, throw it into your Christian microwave and reheat it up and make it. No, it doesn't work like that. You see, the Word of God doesn't need any other philosophical help. It doesn't need any type of secular stuff to add on as appendages. The Bible actually says, don't add anything. Don't take anything away. Everything that you need to solve every modern and every ancient problem is right here in the Word of God. You don't need any additional philosophy. And so, if right now, you know, we're blending in, we're not doing it the way that Jesus was doing it. If they don't know you're different, how different are you, really? Think about it. All the philosophy that we need is right here. We got to stop borrowing the world's ideas because we've stopped reading this as much as we should have been. Some Christians think the same as the world on all the major topics. Talk to them about abortion, same as the world. About homosexuality, same as the world. How can I get to heaven? Same as the world. Is there a hell? Pretty much same as the world. If you're auditing what you believe right now and you blend in too much with the world around you, you might, just maybe, not have enough contrast in your life. I'm not saying that as condemnation. I'm saying that as we all have to take an audit of our life. Because there's a natural impulse to draw back and to not ruffle feathers. And we have a world philosophy that tells us, don't ruffle feathers. There's a lot of religions. Don't get anybody angry. There's a lot of people that see things. There's people that say, you know, that don't even believe in God. So don't get people upset. Can I tell you? We're not here to disrespect people. I'm not saying disrespect people. But I'm saying if there's not contrast in your life, you're not living like Jesus lived. Because Jesus had conflict. He had contrast. He was not afraid to say some things that were completely different than everybody else believed. Than the government believed. Than the Pharisees believed. Than the general culture believed. And he brought those things out. You have to have contrast as a believer. Matthew 7:13 says this. You can enter God's kingdom only through a narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gates are wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. Have you heard recently all paths lead to God? Nope. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one can come to the Father except through me. See, this is an example. I'm just showing you an example of a world philosophy that oftentimes creeps into our philosophy. And so now we're not witnessing the way that we should be. We're not talking about God the way that we should be because we believe in a world philosophy. A world philosophy has crept into our thought process. And so we believe, oh, I don't really need to spread the gospel message, like, because really everybody's going the same place anyways. And so we see that. I like to think of this. It's so important to get the Word of God into our lives. If we don't get the Word of God into our lives, we will automatically adapt the culture of the world. If we don't get the Word of God consistently into our lives, we will automatically adopt the culture of the world. Why? Because it's everywhere. You hear a sermon on Sunday, but the culture of the world is preached every day. Through music, through movies, through TV shows, your favorite TV shows, the world's ideas. That's why if you don't stay in the Word, all kind of ideas start to seep in, start to float around in your head. The Apostle Paul says it this way, Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. then you will learn to know God's will for you. You don't even know God's will. If you're copying the customs of the world, you can't even really clearly identify what God's will is for you in your life. We talk about possessing the promise, but you won't even know what the promise is and how to possess it if you're copying the behaviors and the customs and the ideology of the world. So it says, don't copy the world any longer. Be transformed. How do we transform? By renewing our mind. How do we renew our mind? By getting into the Word. How much? How much do we need to get into the Word? Can I challenge you? When you go home today, audit your schedule. This is a great exercise. Audit your schedule. You can add this 2 hours, add the time that you read the Word of God, add the time that you're worshiping or you're meditating on things about God, and then compare that against how much TV, how much music, how much movies that you watch. I'm not saying that you can't watch movies and you can't watch TV, but I'm just saying if you watch 5 hours of TV and you read 15 minutes of the Bible, guess who's educating you? The world oftentimes educates us by default. They educate us by default because we're not paying attention to what we eat. And you are what you eat. You are what you eat. If you got a healthy diet of music that's on the radio, guess what? You're gonna start gravitating towards a lifestyle that is driven by emotions. Do what I feel to do. The culture of the world does what they feel. The culture of the Bible says, crucify the flesh. Don't do what you feel. If you can stop doing what you feel and do what God is showing, He can transform you and give you a better life. So there's a different thing that God wants to do in us that is a contrast. In this series, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how God wants us to live. How God wants us to be seen by others around us. And what relationships does He possibly have in our life that are meant to contrast us? And what type of conversations do we need to be having that have contrast in them? Are there areas of our life that we need to have more contrast? Have we subtly blended in certain areas when we need to stand out? Will you bow your heads with me? God, I thank You for what You're saying to us today. And God, you come many ways. Sometimes You come to us in a still small voice, tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, you need to take a look at this area. You need to change this area. Sometimes when we're not listening, You come in a stronger voice. But God, I thank You, Lord, that You're coming to us today in a spirit of love, telling us that we have to have contrast. If we want to be like Christ, we have to stand out. We have to speak up. We have to have a different way that we talk. With a transformed mind, we talk different. With a transformed mind, we act different. And so I thank You, God, for allowing us to have a contrast like Jesus had contrast. That He could speak the truth in love. That He could be around those that were living in darkness and be light to them. God, I thank You, Lord, that our light would so shine on those around us. God, that it would bring You glory. It would bring You glory, that we would do good works that would bring You glory. And God, I thank You, Lord, even as we're going through this season, God, Lord, that You would help us to audit our own life. God, is there anything that we need to lay down on the altar? Other stuff we need to take up? Maybe we need to worship more. Maybe we need to pray more. Maybe we need to read the Bible more. Maybe we need to cut some stuff out of our schedule so we can make our life more balanced, more healthy. God, so I thank You, Father, for what You're saying to us about contrast. Maybe as heads are bowed, You're saying, Pastor, I'm at a place where I feel like I've kind of drifted away from Jesus. I had a connection one point in my life, and I just feel like a little bit disconnected from Him, and I know I need to connect with Jesus today. If you need to connect with Jesus or reconnect with Jesus, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Amen. 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 That's what it's all about right there. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. Amen. If you slipped up your hand, pray this prayer with me. Everybody, you can pray this with me. Say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for who you are to me. Thank you for dying on the cross, for forgiving all of my sins, for giving me a clean start, for taking away all my guilt, for reconnecting me with God. I receive your free gift today. Thank you. Teach me how to walk like you, with contrast, that I can shine a light and you can be that light inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.
Another aspect of this that was really bad was the fact that many of the tax collectors were Jews, and so they were extorting their own people. So they had a really bad reputation among the Jews. And of course, the Pharisees didn't like him. The general public didn't like him. The Jews didn't like him. Jesus told stories how to not be like them. But then why did Jesus hang out with these tax collectors? These people that were taking money from people. Before I answer that question, I just want to say we're on a journey. We're on a journey in life, and we go from darkness to light. We are in darkness, we start in darkness, and then the way to light is shown to us. So we see the way, and then we make a choice. Do we want to stay in darkness, or do we want to move into the light? But we know for sure these are two very different things, the darkness and the light. And the Bible talks a lot about the darkness and the light. The darkness is completely different from the light. There's a big difference, a striking difference. There is contrast. Just say it with me one time, contrast. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today is contrast. And contrast is the state of being strikingly different from something else. The state of being strikingly different from something else. And Jesus used contrast all the time. How did Jesus use contrast? Well, he put himself where there was the greatest contrast between light and darkness. He was the light of the world, so he put himself in very dark situations among very dark people. And I'm not talking about complexion here. He put himself in dark situations, people that were living in darkness, so that his light could shine. Jesus didn't blend in. Jesus put himself where there was maximum contrast. He spent time with extortionists like these tax collectors. Why did he do that? Why did he spend time with extortionists, adulterers, the sick, the prejudiced, and the prejudiced against? Because he is just, he is faithful, he is healing, he is love, he is forgiveness. So Jesus took his ministry to the place where there was the greatest contrast. So quick question, why do we as Christians oftentimes avoid contrast? Why are we avoiding being in circumstances and being around people that will contrast our walk and what God has done in us? Because I believe if we're following the steps that Jesus showed us, we might do things a little bit differently. And that's kind of what I want to point out to you today is this concept of contrast. What I want to talk about for the next couple weeks is what does it mean? What does it mean to have that type of contrast in our lives? Who has God placed in your life that might be there for a reason because you're meant to contrast them? Some of the most beautiful things in life come from contrast: salvation, healing, deliverance, redemption, transformation, they all come from one thing coming in contact with something completely different. Contrast. When light invades darkness, there is contrast. But first, let me explain what contrast is not. This is what contrast is not. Contrast is not hanging out with the world and becoming like the world. Contrast is not hanging out with the world and bringing no transformation. If I say, oh, I'm going over here, I'm going to go to the bars or I'm going to go to the clubs and I'm going to be around sinners. And then 2 years later, there's no transformation. There's no fruit of what you're doing. And actually, to the other extreme, you're kind of becoming more like other people that you're hanging around. So I don't fault you for going to the club. I don't fault you for going to the bar. I fault you for not having transformation. Right? Contrast. Look at somebody and say contrast. Contrast is not being so similar to the world that it's hard to tell the difference in the way you live your life and the way they live their life. That was not Jesus. It was very easy to see that Jesus was doing something different. Jesus would actually come into a space and he would transform it. The reason Jesus hung out with notorious sinners is because that's where he would have maximum ministry impact. Think about it. If you are a healer, you need to be around a lot of sick people. If you are a redeemer, you need to be around a lot of people that need redemption. If you are somebody that is anointed to cast out spirits, you need to be around people that need to be exercised, right? Jesus went to the places where he could have maximum contrast. But the Pharisees asked Jesus, why are you hanging out with tax collectors and sinners? Why are you hanging out with all these people? And Jesus tells them in Luke 5:31, he says, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. I love that. Jesus said, when I make house calls, all right, when I make house calls, I'm going to go first to the ones that are in the worst shape. They're not somebody that got a common cold. I'm going to somebody that's on their deathbed. I'm not going to somebody that is a little bit sick and in denial that they're sick. He's not saying that the Pharisees didn't need help too. He's just saying, first, I'm going to the people that know they need help. They're in darkness and they know they want to have some type of change. So Jesus looked for contrast. The problem that we have as Christians often is a lot of times we're hanging out with people that their sin maybe isn't that obvious. And so if we slack off a little bit and they clean up a little bit, we could just blend it all together. And there's no contrast. It's not clear what they're doing wrong, so it appears that maybe they're doing mostly everything right. So we blend in. But in blending in, you know, it's a problem in itself. We weren't meant to blend. Look at somebody and say, I was meant to contrast. Jesus did the opposite of blending in. Matthew 5:16, this is what he commands us to do. Like he did. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father. Can I tell you there's no glory in blending in? It brings no glory to God when we're blending in with the world. And also, if we're spending all of our time just hanging around people, other people with flashlights, at some point you need to go take your flashlight and use your flashlight out where it was meant to be used. Because when I use my flashlight out in the dark areas, there's the greatest contrast. If I'm standing beside you and you got a flashlight, I got a flashlight, and you got a flashlight, everybody in the front row's got a flashlight, you can't see what my flashlight is doing. But if I take my flashlight to a very dark area where there's not a lot of light or no light, there is great contrast. So when Jesus is saying, let your light so shine before men, what type of men do you think he's talking about? Other men that have flashlights? No, men and women that do not have flashlights. Men and women that do not have light of any kind. They are in darkness. They need what you have. So blending in is an idea that the enemy has developed for believers. And the problem is you begin to buy into that if you're not reading enough of this. You listen into other stuff, and then you get some crazy ideas floating around in your head. Because blending is not God's idea. Standing up and standing out is what Jesus did. Look at somebody and say, let your light shine. You know, does anybody at your work know that you're a believer? Does anybody at your work know that you've given your life to Christ? Do your friends see any major differences in your life now and before you came to Christ? What is the contrast? Jesus didn't just like contrast. Jesus sought out contrast. So, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Say, I'm going to take my light. I'm going to bring it to your house in the midst of everything that you're doing wrong. I'm going to come and I'm going to be an example of how to do right. And he didn't just do it there. He's doing it all the time. He said, Matthew, let's throw a party at your house. Not just one tax collector. Let's get a table full of tax collectors. And let me be in the middle of it and see what happens. That's contrast. Because Jesus was looking for maximum contrast. He didn't just accept it. He didn't just like it. He looked for it. And that's not, he didn't just stop there at looking for and seeking for contrast. Jesus had contrast in his conversation. He didn't just sit down and have a conversation about the weather. No, that wasn't Jesus. Jesus talked about real stuff. Jesus talked about the Roman government. Amen? Jesus talked about real stuff. Jesus talked about people, other people that were oppressing people or other people that were prejudiced. That was the story about the Good Samaritan. It was a story about prejudice. Jesus would talk about real issues. Jesus would have contrast in his conversation. Can I ask you a question? When you have conversation with people in the world, is there any contrast to what you're saying? Or did you just blend in with everything that they're saying? Do you just agree with everything that they say? Is there contrast, or have you been intimidated not to discuss points of contrast? Because oftentimes the world says this is normal, and many Christians say, you know what, okay. Or they just avoid confrontation. Has the devil beaten us down that much that we are afraid to contrast what is going on, what is being said? That is not the way that God does things. When you talk with the lost, does your conversation just blend in? The saddest thing I hear is Christians repeating the philosophies of the world. It's, you know, it's like they're trying to put a Christian spin on something that's just clearly not Christian. And I hear it, I'm like, it's not exactly what is, you hear it all the time. You know, it's, you can't take pop culture ideology, throw it into your Christian microwave and reheat it up and make it. No, it doesn't work like that. You see, the Word of God doesn't need any other philosophical help. It doesn't need any type of secular stuff to add on as appendages. The Bible actually says, don't add anything. Don't take anything away. Everything that you need to solve every modern and every ancient problem is right here in the Word of God. You don't need any additional philosophy. And so, if right now, you know, we're blending in. We're not doing it the way that Jesus was doing it. If they don't know you're different, how different are you really? Think about it. All the philosophy that we need is right here. We got to stop borrowing the world's ideas because we've stopped reading this as much as we should have been. Some Christians think the same as the world on all the major topics. Talk to them about abortion, same as the world. About homosexuality, same as the world. How can I get to heaven? Same as the world. Is there a hell? Pretty much same as the world. If you're auditing what you believe right now and you blend in too much with the world around you, you might just maybe, not have enough contrast in your life. I'm not saying that as condemnation. I'm saying that as we all have to take an audit of our life. Because there's a natural impulse to draw back and to not ruffle feathers. And we have a world philosophy that tells us, don't ruffle feathers. There's a lot of religions. Don't get anybody angry. There's a lot of people that see things. There's people that say, you know, that don't even believe in God. So don't get people upset. Can I tell you, we're not here to disrespect people. I'm not saying disrespect people. But I'm saying if there's not contrast in your life, you're not living like Jesus lived. Because Jesus had conflict. He had contrast. He was not afraid to say some things that were completely different than everybody else believed. Than the government believed. Than the Pharisees believed. Than the general culture believed. And he brought those things out. You have to have contrast as a believer. Matthew 7:13 says this. You can enter God's kingdom only through a narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gates are wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. Have you heard recently all paths lead to God? Nope. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one can come to the Father except through me. See, this is an example. I'm just showing you an example of a world philosophy that oftentimes creeps into our philosophy. And so now we're not witnessing the way that we should be. We're not talking about God the way that we should be because we believe in a world philosophy. A world philosophy has crept into our thought process. And so we believe, oh, I don't really need to spread the gospel message, like, because really everybody's going the same place anyways. And so we see that. I like to think of this. It's so important to get the Word of God into our lives. If we don't get the Word of God into our lives, we will automatically adapt the culture of the world. If we don't get the Word of God consistently into our lives, we will automatically adopt the culture of the world. Why? Because it's everywhere. You hear a sermon on Sunday, but the culture of the world is preached every day. Through music, through movies, through TV shows, your favorite TV shows, the world's ideas. That's why if you don't stay in the Word, all kind of ideas start to seep in, start to float around in your head. The Apostle Paul says it this way, Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. You don't even know God's will. If you're copying the customs of the world, you can't even really clearly identify what God's will is for you in your life. We talk about possessing the promise, but you won't even know what the promise is and how to possess it if you're copying the behaviors and the customs and the ideology of the world. So it says, don't copy the world any longer. Be transformed. How do we transform? By renewing our mind. How do we renew our mind? By getting into the Word. How much? How much do we need to get into the Word? Can I challenge you? When you go home today, audit your schedule. This is a great exercise. Audit your schedule. You can add this 2 hours, add the time that you read the Word of God. Add the time that you're worshiping or you're meditating on things about God. And then compare that against how much TV, how much music, how much movies that you watch. I'm not saying that you can't watch movies and you can't watch TV. But I'm just saying if you watch 5 hours of TV and you read 15 minutes of the Bible, guess who's educating you? The world oftentimes educates us by default. They educate us by default because we're not paying attention to what we eat. And you are what you eat. You are what you eat. If you got a healthy diet of music that's on the radio, guess what? You're gonna start gravitating towards a lifestyle that is driven by emotions. do what I feel to do. The culture of the world does what they feel. The culture of the Bible says, crucify the flesh. Don't do what you feel. If you can stop doing what you feel and do what God is showing, He can transform you and give you a better life. So there's a different thing that God wants to do in us that is a contrast. In this series, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how God wants us to live. How God wants us to be seen by others around us. And what relationships does He possibly have in our life that are meant to contrast us? And what type of conversations do we need to be having that have contrast in them? Are there areas of our life that we need to have more contrast? Have we subtly blended in certain areas when we need to stand out? Will you bow your heads with me? God, I thank You for what You're saying to us today. And God, You come many ways. Sometimes You come to us in a still small voice, tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, you need to take a look at this area. You need to change this area. Sometimes when we're not listening, You come in a stronger voice. But God, I thank You, Lord, that You're coming to us today in a spirit of love, telling us that we have to have contrast. If we want to be like Christ, we have to stand out. We have to speak up. We have to have a different way that we talk. With a transformed mind, we talk different. With a transformed mind, we act different. And so I thank You, God, for allowing us to have a contrast like Jesus had contrast. That He could speak the truth in love. That He could be around those that were living in darkness and be light to them. God, I thank You, Lord, that our light would so shine on those around us. God, that it would bring You glory. It would bring You glory, that we would do good works that would bring You glory. And God, I thank You, Lord, even as we're going through this season, God, Lord, that You would help us to audit our own life. God, is there anything that we need to lay down on the altar? Other stuff we need to take up? Maybe we need to worship more. Maybe we need to pray more. Maybe we need to read the Bible more. Maybe we need to cut some stuff out of our schedule so we can make our life more balanced, more healthy. God, so I thank You, Father, for what You're saying to us about contrast. Maybe as heads are bowed, You're saying, Pastor, I'm at a place where I feel like I've kind of drifted away from Jesus. I had a connection one point in my life, and I just feel like a little bit disconnected from Him, and I know I need to connect with Jesus today. If you need to connect with Jesus or reconnect with Jesus, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Amen. 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 That's what it's all about right there. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. Amen. If you slipped up your hand, pray this prayer with me. Everybody, you can pray this with me. Say, Jesus, thank You. Thank You for who You are to me. Thank You for dying on the cross, for forgiving all of my sins, for giving me a clean start, for taking away all my guilt, for reconnecting me with God. I receive Your free gift today. Thank You. Teach me how to walk like You, with contrast, that I can shine a light and You can be that light inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.